Renate?
Yes?
Do you know what the customers takes most picture of in my salon?
No.
The coffee table.
Oh, why?
Because it looks exclusive, kind of. Yeah. It's a golden cup, it's chocolate, and it's water, and it's a press coffee, is it called?
Yeah.
And it's a lot, and I think the customer feels special when they get that from me. And I have used a lot of tough, sorry, on it because they are kind of my guest in my salon. So I want to give them the best.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take too much to make those. So it's a little tip from me to you guys.
Thank you. Welcome to the HairPod. My name is Renate.
And my name is Anne-Mariette.
Well, Anne-Mariette, how has the weekend been?
I just want to talk a little about Skype, because it's so incredible. Now we are sitting here on the evening and we are going to talk to somebody from England. How amazing is that?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we learned that we could do that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Because we both was thinking, oh, we are never going to go there. Because no. We can't. We don't know. Mm-hmm. And the corona.
Lockdown.
Mm-hmm. And then we had to.
Yeah.
And it was so easy.
And then we can talk to people all around the world and not just in the Oslo in Norway.
Yeah. So
that was quite fun.
Yeah.
It's a new world.
Really a new world.
And another new world is our next step on our journey, which the next guest hopefully will learn us about, the YouTube. So today's guest is hairdresser, YouTuber and Joico international artist. Welcome to us, Paul Watts. So, Paul, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your hairdresser career?
Yes.
How it started?
How it all started. I was a bit later than a lot of hairdressers. I got into the industry at 21. But rewinding that, I think my first inkling of hair came from, do you remember, like the troll dolls? You know, the little trolls with hair?
Yeah.
And then Real Hair Action Man. They were my two sort of things before I knew I was going to be a hairdresser that I sort of started to have a bit of a play with. I'd cut their hair with sort of like normal scissors, and I'd colour their hair with permanent markers. And I didn't think that was anything to do with what career I'd go into till much later when I started doing my sort of presentations and stuff like that. But how my creativeness started, school... didn't really give me the creative outlet that I wanted. I was very much into sport. I was a footballer for a number of years, and I played at the highest level for Aston Villa Football Club. I was there for like five, 6 years as a youth player. And that gave me the real bug for like high level education. Like there was nothing higher I could get training wise from that area of my life. And it really gave me this bug for, I didn't want mediocre training. I always wanted like the best of the best training. Unfortunately, I got injuries, torn hamstrings, ligament damage, cartilage damage, and everything like that. So I was at university as well at this point, and I was doing creative design with marketing. I was trying to find out how creative I was, but I didn't really know where I was creative. I left university after 2 years. It wasn't the creative outlet that I wanted. I was given deadlines for like 6 months and 8 months and 3 months, whereas my mind worked very well in the sense that someone gave me a brief and I would think about it, I would develop it, and I would execute it within sort of like, what, one, 2, 3 hours, something like that. And my university lecturer said, oh no, as a designer, you need to go away, you need to design it, and then you need to come back to me in 3 months with the finished project. And then I just thought, what creative outlet would give me the ability to be given a brief, have to create something off the top of my head now, and then deliver? And then I just thought hair. Like when I was going into a salon and I'd ask a barber or a hairdresser what I wanted, they would stand there, they'd look at me, they'd assess, and then they'd deliver. So I thought, right, at 21, I left university. I suffered really bad with injuries through football, so retired from football at 21 as well, and then put my all into hairdressing. And then I went to night school because I was older. I had bills and everything to pay for, so I thought, right, I'll do night school. And then I qualified. I started House of Hair, which was in my parents' garage. I had basically a chair, a mirror, and my scissors. And it went from there. I got headhunted by a local salon. They asked me to come and work for them. I worked for them. They gave me the opportunity to do a colour degree after 14 months. And then working for those guys, I developed from graduate stylist to senior stylist to salon manager within 3 years. And then bought the salon that I was working at. And then it gets into Paul Watts Hairdressing in what was that, 2011? So my brand started 2011. I've seen all the mistakes that my old employer was making in the sense of overstaffing, undereducating. So I thought, right, my core belief is going to be education. And I want to be able to get to the highest level I possibly can to help my team get to the highest level that they possibly can. First year of trading was very, very good. Managed to, with the profit, open up the second salon. And then the third year, I opened up my third salon. And then I thought, right, I need to sort of assess where I am. And I spent a whole year developing my team, because my team was quite big then, developing my team with education to try and awards and stuff like this to try and get us a bit of profile. From my university days with social media, that all sort of helped massively. We started off on a high with sort of MySpace, Facebook and everything, and really got into it early. After that year of education, I opened up my... The second salon, I moved location to a much bigger premises. And then on the fifth year now, I opened up my fourth salon, but then opened up two stories on my second salon. And then in the sixth year, I moved my first salon to an old bank, which I'm now in. I'm in the vault. That's where my studio is.
Wow. Your career was going straight up from the beginning.
Yeah, crazy, like a big snowball. That's all I can sort of say with my career. When I become obsessed with something, I become obsessed, and I want to reach the top. And like I did with football, I wanted to be a good footballer, so I put everything to that. When I realised that sort of career was over with my injuries, I wouldn't play at the highest level anymore. I thought, well, what career could I do? And then when I found hair, I just fell in love with it and just went for it.
What's the best thing you think about being a hairdresser?
What's the best thing?
Yeah, what's the best thing?
The best thing about being making people feel great.
Yeah.
That's got to be the best thing ever. And having a team that you work closely with and making them feel good and help them achieve their goals and everything like that. But basically my whole thing is about just making people feel good. If I can give off enough sort of positive vibes, then I will.
That's it all about making the clients happy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was just having a customer here and she walked out 5 minutes before I went on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I was supposed to have an hour, but she was so happy. And then, okay, it's okay. That hour, don't care.
Yeah. And that's it. We're like, that's, people find what we do. This is the biggest thing that hairdressers struggle with, but also makes them really happy. People feel that what we do is just a hobby because they see that we enjoy it so much. And if somebody comes in late, it's like, oh, don't worry, like I'll do it anyway. Or if they want something different, say, oh, I'll just work through lunch or I'll work after work, get it done. And they're
in
just
holidays.
In holidays and everything, yeah. And they just see it as like, oh, this person's loving what they do. It must just, it's just like a hobby. But yeah, it's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. The school you took, how long was that?
When I was at a hairdressing school.
Yeah.
It was 2 years, 2 years night school.
Oh, and then you are finished and can go out and work.
You can, yeah. I mean,
you're not an apprentice, is it that called? Apprentice?
Yeah.
Apprentice?
There's different ways, and this is one of the questions that you had, what would you change in the industry, which we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, so you can do night school. As long as you get an MVQ in hairdressing, level 1, 2, 3, if you want to go for 3, you can practice. You can be a practicing hairdresser, which I think is one of the main reasons why the industry is where it is at the minute with some things. But yeah, you go to college, you train, or you can be an apprentice, like you were saying. I've got 2 apprentices in my salon.
Who don't go to school?
They don't go to college, no. So we train them here. And then we have an outside assessor come in and we'll assess them and do their exams.
But when you put down your team in your stores, is it similar that putting down the team for football, that they have different qualities?
Yeah, there are different qualities. There's some that are quieter than others. There's others which are a bit more louder, a bit more sort of like, not, I don't want to say confident, but a bit more... I don't want to say experienced. It's just a quality that they've all got their own qualities, where some will be a bit, they'll be able to, yeah, be a bit louder, I suppose, but a bit more commanding. They'll develop quicker and all that sort of thing. But one thing that I look for, and I say this upon interview and with everybody, to be honest, when I'm looking at interviewing people, I look for sort of like 25% of what they've done, sort of like skill-based, because I know that I can develop them in that area. I look for 75% personality and enthusiasm, because they're 2 things that I can't teach. I can't teach them to be a better person as such, personality-wise. and I can't sort of... I can motivate them, but if they haven't got that enthusiasm to begin with, then it's sort of impossible.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you was talking about, what you want to change in the industry, what would you change?
So when you look at America obviously is licensed. You have to be a licensed cosmetologist. And I think the UK, everyone sort of sees the UK as like the pillar of like hairdressing. That's where it seems to, everyone wants to come to London or something like that to train. But I think we're really lacking in the sense of, just like licensing or having, you've got like to have something that gives you like the ability to be a hairdresser or to open a salon, because there's just nothing. You can open a salon without a qualification. You can start cutting hair without a qualification. I think there needs to be something brought in that will keep the standard. And I think standardization is something that a lot of people talk about, and it's something that is definitely needed. But that's probably the only thing I would change, because, and if there was sort of like standards that everyone had to keep to, education would still be incredible. People's confidence would also be at a high level, because they're kept at this standard. Whereas at the minute, when you see people sort of drop off or anything, and the whole thing with mental health at the minute, where people really suffer with anxiety, a lot of it is just down to if they've never done a graduated bob before, or they've never done sort of like a balayage at college. So when it's thrown upon them in the salon, I think that's why the industry is where it is at the minute. There's just no standardization.
Because we learned for a few weeks ago that before the AU,
yep,
there was standards, but after AU, they were taking off. So you can circulate around the countries, but you can do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Norway, we can't. We want to do it, but we can't.
because of EU.
Yeah, because of that.
Yeah. Mm. And maybe the UK will. I mean, after lockdown, where they were opening up industries and everything, and the hair industry was one of the last to open because they seen it as a high risk, low profiteering sort of industry. We used to be a billion, like multi-billion pound industry. But since the lack of sort of standardization and VAT and everything that can contribute to the industry as a whole has sort of diminished, that's why the government sort of seen it as, oh no, the hairdressing industry doesn't really bring anything anymore. So it's a tough one. There's a lot that need doing. And if they did bring in some sort of licensing or standardization, it would be brilliant.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Can you describe a pretty good day at work?
A good day at work. So
every day.
To be honest, every day is a good day. I mean, just waking up is a positive. getting to work. I mean, having the whole team in, everyone in sort of like good moods, just creating good hair. There's not a lot to make it a good day. It is literally just I'm doing what I love. So being able to do it and people love what I do and work with people around me that are incredible people, and then finishing off the day with something like this, something social based. So podcasts, filming videos. That's how I tend to finish my day. If I'm not filming, I'm editing. So.
Yeah, but you are a YouTuber as well.
I do YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so, let's go back into lockdown again. So, lockdown happened and I was just like, well, what do I do? I'm very much an all four, like 100%, 100 miles per hour, always going for something. And then when we were told that we couldn't leave the house only for an hour, I was like, right, what do I do? I had a camera, and then I just thought, I don't know when this is going to end, so I'll just start filming. And I started like vlogging lockdown as such, which didn't last that long because there was not much I could talk about. And it's not until with YouTube, you have to make these mistakes and make these different like little avenues of where you go to really find out what you've got to offer. And I was doing different things. I was doing reaction videos like Brad Mondo. I was doing little how-tos. I was doing vlogs. And then it was just once when we could reopen, one Saturday I was in the salon and we were all getting ready to leave. And I said to the girls, I was like, I haven't filmed a video. And they were like, oh, see ya. And then they all went. And then I ran down here. And I was going out that night, so I didn't have long at all. So I quickly Googled biggest hair trend right now. TikTok popped up with the wolf cut. And I looked at the wolf cut, having never sort of seen it before. And I just thought, how would that affect people in the salon, youngsters in the salon, if they'd never sort of cut a shag haircut before or anything like that? If somebody from TikTok brought that in and then said, right, I want this haircut, a wolf cut, it's a brand new term, we didn't have it before. How could I really make that simple for people to understand and then develop from there? So I've just done one tonight as well with the cub cut, which is a follow-on from the wolf cut. And I do them in like 1, 2, 3, or 4 ponytails. And people think that I do this to show people how to do it at home. It's the complete opposite. I put it into a ponytail and explain the elevation, the other direction, and the placement of cuts to help young hairdressers see it instantly. So if we pick it up in a chunk and we cut it there and hair fall, if that hair falls to there when we take it all to that point, then how can we translate that onto the salon floor? And that first wolf cut took me 10 minutes to film, 8 minutes to edit, and it's got 4.4 million views.
Wow.
It's insane. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what exploded my channel. So my channel at the minute is very wolf cut heavy, but there's a lot. I mean, I did a graduated bob in one cut. So it was like a ponytail brought all the way back to center back, just below occipital bone. completely explained for a young hairdresser to understand that if we were to over-direct all the way back and cut it, where's that going to fall? So I did it, I cut it, refined the outline, and we had a beautiful graduated bob. And then I follow on with a salon version. So I'll do the exact same haircut, but completely sectioned out. And for me, going from vlogging to reaction videos to product reviews and everything, to find this little niche of ponytail haircuts is just that's it. And that's you've just got to find these little areas.
But you have that one on the YouTube?
Yep.
Yeah, because I had about a month ago, it was a colleague of me that had seen it on YouTube, and she had never done the wolf cut, had a new client, and she did it like you did.
Yeah.
And got a new client.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't want to say like haircutting isn't hard, because it is difficult. Yeah. It's very difficult to cut hair. But to help new hairdressers understand how hair falls, that's basically it. And then they can work on better sectioning, like stronger cutting lines and everything like that. That's where it all stemmed from.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Why do you think that video was so many people did see that? Is it was it simple, or was it everything
understandable?
Yeah, yeah. So a mix of everything. So it's a way of, so what you've got to think about with YouTube, a lot of people get confused with it and thinking, oh, I need to do this, and this. And if you get so condensed into your niche, you'll probably be only reaching 3-5% of your audience. Whereas if you can open it up to 98% who just watch YouTube, so 98% of people on earth have probably got hair, right? So if I'd have done it as a salon version, as a hairdresser who can only cut it, there's probably only 3% of hairdressers on YouTube, as opposed to the amount that are on there, like the billions that are on there. So I've opened it up for the average person to understand that, oh, that's the haircut I've wanted. I'm going to watch this. That's how I want it to fall. I'm going to go to my hairdresser and say, oh, I want this wolf cut. And for hairdressers, like you were saying, made it so simple to be able to quickly sort of Google, the video comes up and it's like, oh, okay, where do we take it to? Ponytail here, ponytail here. Oh, okay. So if I over-direct all my sections to there and to there and then cut them,
it's understandable.
Going to get that shape. Mm. So yeah, that video, and I think that video was on the cusp of wolf cuts just happening. When I Googled it, wolf cut popped up as something and I couldn't really find anything else on it. So I think I was just on that real sort of incline of people searching for it.
It's almost the same thing about like the curtain banks when you cross over and just cut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did a video on that recently. And like with the butterfly haircut, I did that, and then I did the butterfly bangs, and it was literally just crossing over, cutting them, letting them fall. And that's the thing. Hairdressers often confuse clients with our terminology. And I get it to a degree. But when you start to see clients look at you like, I've no idea what you're talking about, then if we can help them understand it a bit more, then it's going to make the whole experience a lot easier for us as a hairdresser as well. If we say that the haircut, if we cut here and it's going to fall to here, do you know what I mean? That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make it so simple. Same with my color techniques. I did one for Joico America 2 weeks ago, and it was 8 foils and then a toner, and it created a multidimensional platinum blonde. And it was just placement. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm. You work for Joico as well. What is your role?
My role with Joico is a senior creative color artist.
And what do you do?
So with Joico, I mean, with Europe, I do education sessions, I do photo shoots, I do tutorials, videos, photos, live shows, a lot of digital, a lot of digital for them now. I've sort of adopted this. They call me the cable guy because they only found this out the other month, actually. Before I was a hairdresser, I was a network engineer. So I used to install networks into offices and schools and stuff like that. And we were having to do a little intro to ourselves. And I think we did it over 3 days. And I was trying to think of something different every day to sort of say. And then when I said this about the cabling, they said, God, it makes so much sense that you know so much about like this. My whole setup is just, I've got everything. So, yeah, I've adopted a bit more of like a social side with Joico as well. And then I've just recently started working with Joico Global, Joico International last year. I've just started doing lives for those guys as well. So that's something that was a bucket list. I wanted to actually do it this year. And then when I sort of mentioned it to Danielle and Wendy, and they said, well, why don't you do it now? I said, no, I don't feel ready for it yet. And they said, well, and to be honest, I'm normally 100% just go for it, but I still feel really new to everything I do. And I think it's down to, because I do everything so, I don't know, so quick or something, I never really sit down and take time to reflect. I'm always on to the next thing. And then it's like, oh God, I haven't been doing that long. I shouldn't really be doing this. And it just follows on. So yeah, that's what I do, shows and all that sort of thing.
So you take time to reflect?
No, I don't really take any time to reflect.
No, but you are doing that now since you said no to Wendy?
Yeah, but then she said, go for it. And then I think within 24 hours, Joico America emailed and said, oh, we hear you're interested. I said, yeah. And they said, oh, we'd love to. When can we get a meeting? I think I had a meeting that week. And they said, right, next month. So I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best part being on Joico team?
Best part of being in the Joico team?
Yeah.
I think it's the people.
Yeah.
I think the people I work with are unbelievable. It's the best brand I've ever worked for. I've worked for other big brands. I've been on different artistic teams. And the way that they make you feel like part of the family, and you've got Eric, the CEO, who's in his office, he'll come and see you. You've got the like Danielle and Wendy and all the team. They're all there, all the education team, the marketing team, they're all there. And you all sit and have dinner together, lunch together, sorry. And it's just a really positive environment to grow from.
Mm-hmm. What do you like about Joico, the products?
It's got to be... favorite thing is the joy of healthy hair, making people's hair go from what they feel is broken, damaged, frizzy to feeling like brand new again with the 4-step hair repair system. That's got to be something that we really shout about a bit more.
The joy of healthy hair. It's got to be the way that everything. Like
the reason I work with Joico was because of the demi liquids. I'm a real demi hair colorist, and when chrome, and then we've got Verglaze. I mean, Verglaze is just unbelievable. But the glosses and Verglaze as a palette for me to work from, I absolutely love it.
Agree.
Yeah.
What do you think is the next big trend?
Next big trend, cut-wise, I hope what I've just done, Cub Cut, from going on the back of Wolf Cut, how that's been a massive haircut and developed from the shag to Wolf Cut to Butterfly Cut and then sort of gone back to Wolf Cut as the big trend. People are wanting maybe something a little bit more wearable, a bit softer. So I think haircut-wise, Cub Cut, which is, again, a bit of a mix on the Bixie. Like I think hair looks are sort of mashing together to create sort of like softer trends, and I think that's what I really love about what I'm doing at the minute with YouTube and sort of mashing hair trends together to create these little looks. Color wise, God, color is so difficult to predict because, like, one minute it's blondes, coppers. Going into spring and summer,
I would love to see like apricots. I really miss 10NC from Demi Liquids. That was my go-to sort of like apricot sort of color. But yeah, mixing on the blondes and the coppers, I think I'd go with apricot as a color to something pastel. I really like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the best thing about social media?
Connecting with people like this.
We'd
have never connected if it wasn't for social media. So I think that's the best thing. I think how
that was the line from Nokia before the telephone.
Connecting people, yeah. Yeah, but that's true, isn't it?
It is.
It's the whole connecting with people and collaborating, being able to collaborate now from like I'm in the UK, you're in Norway. Like we'd have never been able to do this, and like no. I can see you. Social media has changed so much, and it's a great tool, but it's got to be used very well, because I think that there's obviously a lot around social media. But if enjoy it. Don't get immersed so much in it that it becomes it gets you down. Just see the positives in it, that you can connect with anybody, you can see anybody whenever you want, and like hair trends, it's all at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Right. I really agree about that. All the education. Do you think that the younger one use technology instead of meeting in live on courses and stuff?
And that's what I was sort of like hinting to then with like, if it's used properly in the sense of you can build businesses from it, you can connect with people. To have a bit of fun, but when they're relying on it so much to have engagement, I think that's where they need to understand. Like when I was a kid, I was out running, like playing football, running about the neighborhood as such, and with people. And I think that's what's really going to be very like prevalent in the future. That there's the social skills that people have got when it's face to face is a massive thing, because Some of the old assistants that I had, they were so immersed in it that when we'd have chats, they'd feel uncomfortable, but they'd text you. And I'm like, I'm here. You don't need to text me. Like I'm here. Like I'll chat. But they feel like, oh God, no, I can't like look at you, and I can't talk to you because you're a person. And that's the real thing that I think that they'll struggle with is the interaction face to face. Because it's just they're so reliant on headsets, gaming, whether they're doing that or it's FaceTime. And then when they see each other, it's like, oh my God, filters. I just, as I was waiting for you guys to come on, I just did this, what's it called? There's this filter that makes you look nothing like yourself, but you look absolutely beautiful. And I just put it on. I was like, I look nothing like that. How depressing. But that's the thing. That's what it's come to, where filters have become catfishing, I suppose. And people don't want to be seen in person because they're like, oh my God, all my videos are me with this filter on. When I go outside, they're going to see that I look normal. And that's the real shame of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem with Tinder. Just put on... Your good side.
Yeah, online dating must be so difficult because you filter everything and then that's it.
Yeah. We have some fixed questions for you. Yeah. Do you have any tips for hairdressers who want to be up and running stars like you? Yeah.
So if they're in salon, shadow the busiest stylist there. Make sure you're watching everything they do. Become an education sort of junkie. I was absolutely, and I still am, addicted to education. I think that as an addiction, that you only want to better yourself, is what will get you to that next level. And being able to experience the level of education that you want, you can then pass on to others.
Nice. That was a very good tip.
What inspires you? So everything inspires me. Some of the most recent things with Joico and everything has been outside the industry. I haven't really wanted to concentrate too much on sort of like music and fashion or the hair industry. I've wanted to look outside of our industry. And with one of my courses, like Barista Artista, that was a whole like coffee shop. I wanted to, there's a coffee shop in my salon downstairs. And I was looking at all the coffees that they do and not the usual ones like matcha. So when Joico released the AAs, which are heavily green based, I thought, right, we could do something like that. And I love to inspire, I love to get inspired by that, but I love to inspire my clients by giving them language in which they can like visualize instantly. So when we're talking about a hair color, if we, rather than say, oh, I'll tell you what would look good on you, a 7 NRG, and they're like, a what? But if we were to go in and sort of talk about like oranges or like apricots, and then you can already see it. You can see an orange, you can see an apricot, you can see a latte, you can see how dark an Americano is. And I think making the verbiage a bit easier for people to understand, that's what really inspired me. And then being able to assist clients in being able to visualize what they're getting before it's developed. I think that's the biggest thing for me.
I think we asked the third questions already, so I think I put on a new one now.
Okay.
Where are you in 10 years?
10 years, 48. Yeah. I will be coming up to 50. God. Where am I in 10 years? I got asked this question the other day, actually. And they were saying, like, what do you think you're going to be doing? Do you think you'll sell the salon? I don't think I'll sell the salon. I think this is definitely part of what I'm doing. YouTube hopefully will still be going. That's what I really want to do, be educating people online. Face-to-face, I see as a big part of what I do at that age. Looking at the Joico artistic team now, they're all sort of 10 years older than me, and seeing where they are, it would be a pleasure to be where they are right now with what they're doing. So, but I suppose a little bit more heavily social media influenced.
Do you think you still will have clients?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love to hear that. Yeah. I mean, when people, I get a lot of clients say to me, because I work away pretty much every weekend, like I'm in Europe doing stuff, they're always like, God, you won't be cutting my hair much longer. And I always go, why? Where are you going? And they go, well, I'm not. You are. I said, I'm not going anywhere. And so, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I love what I do in the salon floor and with my, like I said, my team. I love having a team around me. I love that it's in my hometown. And I love doing what I'm doing. And I feel very lucky to be able to go to all these different places to pick up experiences and inspiration and then bring it back to here.
You want to make people happy.
That's it.
Always.
That's gone full circle. That's what it is, making people happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Facebook, which is Paul Watts Hairdressing. You can find me on Instagram, Paul Watts Hair, and then my diary side of things is paulwatts.life. So Paul Watts Hair is my business page for the salons, and then YouTube is Paul Watts Hair. So if you just type Paul Watts Hair in on Google, I will pop up. But yeah, that's my socials.
Thank you so much for being a part on our podcast, Paul.
Thank you.
It's been really inspiring, and your story is incredible.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I love doing these because I get to like I said, I don't reflect, and when I hear these sort of stories coming back to me, it's like, gosh, it's like such a journey, and there's still so much to do. There's still so much I want to do, but yeah, it's amazing doing these things. I love it. Thank you.
And please give us stars on iTunes and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and very, very soon on YouTube.
That's it.
Yeah.
You have a nice evening, and we talk soon.
Cool. Perfect. Lovely to meet you both.
Lovely to meet you as well.
Great to meet you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.